Welcome to Conversations with Owens Community College President, Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Welcome to the newest episode of the Conversations podcast. I'm Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Thank you for listening today. We are so excited to be celebrating our second anniversary. This has been an exciting year for the podcast. In addition to growing our listener base, Conversations is now an award-winning podcast. We received a Gold Collegiate Advertising Award and a Silver Medallion Award from the National Council for Marketing and Public Relations. And listeners, we owe it all to you. Whether this is your first time with us or if you're a longtime follower, we're so happy that you're joining us as we explore the issues and meet the people who are important to Northwest Ohio and to Owens Community College. Please enjoy our previous episodes and subscribe to Conversations to join us for future episodes. We hope you'll take a few minutes to take our four-question listener survey. A link is in our episode notes, and you can access it at surveymonkey.com/r/conversationspod. Today, I am so excited to welcome Tom Daniels, Director of Talent Management at Knight Insurance. Tom earned his associate's degree right here at Owens Community College and went on to obtain his bachelor's degree in liberal arts from the University of Toledo. He attended Bowling Green State University to obtain his master's in 2001. Tom's experience includes years in learning and development, executive leadership, and supporting leaders as a career coach. He spent more than a decade at Bowling Green State University as the Associate Director of Graduate and Executive Programs in Business. As an Owens alum, a recruiter for local business, and as someone who has worked with so many of our transfers during his tenure at Bowling Green, Tom is the perfect guest for our second anniversary episode. We're so excited he agreed to join us for a conversation. Hi, Tom, and thank you for being our guest today. Tom, welcome to Conversations. I'm so thrilled that you were here. I don't know if you say this publicly or not, but you introduced yourself to me years ago as the classic triple threat of the region. You graduated from Owens, from the University of Toledo, and Bowling Green. And so I'm thrilled to have you here for multiple reasons, but because you're an alum, you have service on our foundation board of directors, you chair our alumni committee, and you're just an incredible, valuable resource in our community.
Awesome. Thank you. And thanks for the invite. I'm excited to be back to campus. I always enjoy being back to campus. Of course, it looks a little different than it did maybe some 30 years ago.
A couple years ago.
when I was here as a student, but it's still always energizing to come back to campus.
Awesome.
So thanks for the invite.
It's always a pleasure having you here. As we get this started, what we always ask each of our podcast guests, when did you know that you wanted education past high school?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I would start just saying that I'm a first generation college student. So One of the fun facts about me is I went to five high schools in three different states. While I originally started off in Northwest Ohio, high school was quite varied. And then I moved back to the area in my senior year of high school. And part of the reason I moved back to the area was so that I could get state residency to go to college. As a first generation college student, I was also going to be self-funding my college education. So I needed to make sure I had in-state residency. So I knew I knew I would have to go to college, or knew I was going to go to college. What that looked like, I had no idea. I didn't come from a family who had gone to college. So nobody knew the process. Nobody was well known in that space. So frankly, I just went right in as a non-traditional student and decided that I would go to Owens. And because I knew if I had to pay for it, it had to be economical for me to be able to do that and be able to self-fund it. And so I chose Owens as my first stop. I would share that I started at Owens as an engineering student. We'll probably talk a little bit about how I'm not an engineer today. But that said, I started as an engineering student, and I can remember the engineering building, by the way, was the hot building on campus at that time. And I took my first mechanical drawing class and realized that, mechanical engineering is not for me. And so I actually shifted over to the marketing program in the School of Business. And I still have great memories of being in class. In fact, I would even say that I remember some of the faculty members. I would even say that I would call them friends. Even though I haven't talked to a couple of them in a little while, I still remember their names. We may throw notes to each other via email or via LinkedIn. And so even to think that that was several years ago and they're all retired by now, it's still great that I can have that connection back to those faculty members.
That is awesome. Yeah. Now,
Did you have marketing in your back pocket? Like, was it something you had always considered, or was there a class you took that made you think, oh, this might be the route for me?
Not really. I really hadn't even thought about marketing at all. I think what I looked at was, hey, what classes do I have that would transfer into what other programs? And frankly, I just decided the business program was where I had to be. I didn't have necessarily a background to know which direction to go. Frankly, I went into engineering because a friend of mine was working in engineering and making really good money. And that was the focus. So I ended up shifting over to this school of business. I remember meeting with them. I think it just kind of jived as I took a marketing class. It was part of the business program. I kind of got hooked and then finished that program. And, you know, one of the cool things that I like to say about Owens is that it's how I got my first job. So my first job offer actually came through the Career Center here at Owens Community College. And it was with an advertising firm that had a national organization that had an office locally. And I remember going for the interview and I got the job, which I was like ecstatic about. and I can remember even going and meeting with my boss, and she was like, wow, you really are green in terms of what you know about the office environment, but you know what you're doing in the advertising world. And so I kind of felt like, hey, I was able to take everything I learned and really kind of put it into practice in that organization.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Now, for people who are less familiar with Northwest Ohio, the campus community at Owens, campus community at University of Toledo, community at Bowling Green State University are very different campuses.
Absolutely.
All wonderful institutions, but they're different. And so how did one prepare you for the next, and what are some of the things that you kind of took away from those varied experiences?
For me, I've been very fortunate to find programs that fit me well at each of those schools. Again, Owens was the right spot for me at the right time from a fiscal standpoint, for figuring out what it is that I may want to do from a career standpoint, and just kind of giving me that first step to figure that out. I was a non-traditional student. I worked third shift at a grocery store stocking shelves. I went home in the morning. I slept. I got up and I took classes in the evening. That's how I got through Owens. And I did it in a three-year program versus 2 years, but it worked for me. What's kind of unique after that is that I got the job working in the advertising industry right after finishing my degree here at Owens. I actually took a class at Bowling Green because I was working during the day. I needed an evening class. I had one class at Bowling Green because originally I was going to transfer to Bowling Green full time. And when I got the job, I couldn't do that. Many, many years ago, we didn't have too many evening classes at Bowling Green or at Toledo. And so I took a class at Bowling Green, and then, believe it or not, here's, again, part of the Northwest Ohio tour, I actually took classes at University of Findlay before finding the University of Toledo had a great program through University College where they basically took all of my coursework and kind of put it together. And it wasn't a business degree, but it was a four-year bachelor's degree. And so it was kind of a cool option. Still non-traditional. I was working during the day and going to school in the evening, which was a shift for me because I liked the idea that I was using my brain for class in the evenings here at Owens, and then I would use it was physical labor at night, and then I would sleep in the morning. So when I woke up, I was still fresh to be able to take classes, and then I had to shift that where I was working during the day and then taking classes in the evening. But again, non-traditional. So even just the campus community is quite a little bit different. My experience here at Owens. Smaller classes connected to the faculty, kind of as I mentioned, I remember and having conversations with a lot of the faculty, and the accessibility seemed to be there. When I went to University of Toledo, it was just a little bit different. The class sizes were a little bit larger. I was in more some of the general classes since I had all of my business classes taken care of. Yet at the same time, because of the degree program I had and because I had so many business classes going into it, they kind of forced me to take some other classes that were non-business. And that actually ignited something that I remember from childhood that allowed me to kind of go a different path and really started to define my career. And it was a faculty member there that I was able to connect with. And then at Bowling Green, I was done with my four-year degree. I was still working full-time, and I was looking for a program that would allow me to explore the learning and development piece of me that was itching. Mm-hmm. And so Bowling Green has a world-class program that in organization development that it was weekend-based mm-hmm. that just kind of fit right into what I needed as a non-traditional student. So, and I'll kind of go back to that experience at the University of Toledo. One of the classes that I took was an educational psychology class. Mm-hmm. And I can remember being in that class and it kind of reignited this memory of being 12 years old and saying I wanted to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing is that I remember being 12 and saying that, and people say, well, teachers don't make very much money. You may not want to do that. And so when I went to Owens, I became an engineering student. Uh-huh. Why? Because it was about the money. It wasn't about what I really wanted to do. And so when I took those classes, I took an educational psychology class, and then I took a class in adult development, mm-hmm. and behavioral modification. And I was like, okay, I remember now. So, you know, at that time, I had about 7 years of education mm-hmm. and professional experience. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to go back to school and get a teaching degree. That'll take forever for mm-hmm. me. I'll have to restart everything. And so that's when I started to explore, well, what can I do with this educational psychology stuff and the teaching that I'm really passionate about and this work experience that I have? And then it became, you know, there's this world around learning and development and training and development mm-hmm. that exists that I can just teach at work. Yes. How about if I just find a way to do that? And then, so that's how I found the program at Bowling Green that gave mm-hmm. me the weekend program mm-hmm. because then I had kids. So I needed a weekend program that I could find a way to balance that with my schoolwork. And so that's kind of a little bit of that transition of the educational transition and how it kind of fit in with even my growth as a professional. And mm-hmm. kind of really following what it is that I really, really want to do.
Well, you know, it really speaks to education and your own growth pathway and how you're able to kind of rediscover things. Yeah. I mean, because that was something that you had buried and suppressed. And as you're thinking about the set of values, I mean, it makes a lot of sense that as you're going through school, you expect to earn a living.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, how is it that you can be comfortable in your lifestyle while also doing something that you enjoy and love to do? And so it really brought you full circle.
You know, one of the lines that I like to talk about is that education is freedom. It opens up doors that may not have been open to you before. And mm-hmm. the more you learn, you open up these pathways that you forgot that you mm-hmm. enjoyed. And that's what it truly did to me. Because if I'd gone into the business program at Toledo and they'd allowed me to do that, I probably wouldn't have taken the educational psychology class. I probably would have taken more marketing classes and more advertising classes. And that may not have come up, you know, at that point, but it really kind of opened up that door to mm-hmm. use all that business and professional experience that I had to kind of go and work my way towards a learning and development space.
So human resources for you is really about learning and development?
To me, it's about, first of all, helping people grow, helping people develop and follow their dreams. Mm-hmm. And so even what I do today, I do talent acquisition or recruitment for our firm, and then it's about the training and development function. And so I get to do both. And so it's about talking with people about their dreams and about their careers. And if it's the right place, great. If it's not, that's fine too. If I can help even advise you in going another direction, that's okay. And then for those that are part of our organization, how do I help them get to where they want to be mm-hmm. professionally along the way? And so for me, for my space in human resources, you know, and truly human resources is a business partner. They have to mm-hmm. be a partner to the business. It just happens Absolutely. To be that I like to think even as HR is, hey, you're a business person who has expertise in HR. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the focus. You got to really understand your organization. You got to understand what you do. I'm new to my organization and I'm learning a ton about our industry and about what we do. But that's the only way I can really benefit the organization is if I can mm-hmm. really understand what we do. I understand people. But now let's understand the business so that we can make sure that there's a marriage there to develop the folks that are there.
When did you decide that you were interested in human resources?
Again, I think it would go right back to that taking that educational psychology class. And I kind of had a general idea of human resources because I was already working in the advertising industry. But we didn't have a local HR person, so I didn't mm-hmm. really understand what HR was. But once I took this educational psychology class, and what I'll share with you is kind of a interesting story, because the faculty member that I was taking the class from, his research and interests were in expertise. So he talked a lot about even Michael Jordan and like what about Michael Jordan's expertise? Like, how does he become so elite? Mm-hmm. And just kind of serendipitously during that class, I was an avid bowler back then.
Uh-huh.
I call myself semi-retired because I might go back, but I'm not really sure. But I bowled my very first ever 300 game during that class. And so when he found out, he was like, we need to talk, because in his mind, this
was developed an expertise.
And then I started sharing even more about my interest in what I wanted to do. And he was like, you need to go talk to this other faculty member. and it was kind of those conversations. It was more about just having a conversation with the faculty member who recommended I talked to somebody else. And so that's when I started to see this trend towards, there's this space in learning and organization development, and that typically falls under human resources. And so mm-hmm. that's the connection I have to human resources, as opposed to, I'm definitely not a tactical HR person. Mm-hmm.
You're not on the operation side.
Yeah. And I appreciate those who do. I have a lot of friends in that space, but it's just not my side. Mm-hmm. It's much more about the talent acquisition side, and definitely about the learning and development side.
You've been in multiple areas of organizational development. You've been in recruiting and talent management for more than a decade. And so what are employers looking for today? There's the articles, there's what you hear, there's what we hear when we go talk to companies, but what is it that they're looking for, and how can higher education help solve that need?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I would say, and this is something that I've shared with a lot of young people, I go into college classes, I've spent 10 years working in higher education. One of the things that I say regularly is, you'll get a job based on what you know. If you're in business, it's marketing, it's supply chain management, it's finance, it's accounting, and that's wonderful. You'll have a career based on how you treat people. And so the people skills, I used to call them soft skills. I like the idea that they're real skills. These are mm-hmm. skills that we have to have. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a job based on what you know. And if you treat people well, you'll always have options. You'll mm-hmm. always have an option. So I think that's a huge piece that employers are typically looking for. One of my favorite mentors has always said, it's about learning, not performing. So in class, mm-hmm. it's not about getting an A. It's about learning what you need to learn. Because when you go to work, they want you to have the business acumen or the acumen so that you can learn how mm-hmm. to do the job the way they want you to do the job.
Right.
Because everybody does it a little bit different, but you need to have the acumen to be able to learn, to be able to do the job.
Right.
And so it isn't about getting an A. They care about, can you do the job when I hire you? And I think that's a really important part. I think there's a willingness to learn. Mm-hmm. Because things change all the time. So mm-hmm. it's about being able to say, hey, I can learn the new way, I can shift, I can adapt. And then I think you need to be willing to jump in and try something new. When there's a problem to be solved, raise your hand. Say, mm-hmm. hey, I'm willing to jump in. I may not know how to do it, but I'll figure it out. There's a CEO of a company, her name's Kat Cole, and she's the CEO of Athletic Greens. And she talks about the word confidence. And mm-hmm. confidence is a belief, and we have to remember that. And the confidence is that, confidence just means that I'm going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll figure it out. You just got to have confidence that we'll figure it out. If that's what confidence is all about. Mm-hmm. It's like, we've done it before, we'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So just having the confidence to figure it out. So willingness to try to jump in, try something new. So those are a couple of things that I think.
So speaking of the willingness to jump in and try something new, you just did that. And so can you talk about your new role and kind of, how does that correlate to people who are looking at a transition, be it their first job or, transitioning from one place to another? What have been some of the lessons that you've learned already?
Yeah, so I started a new gig about 7 weeks ago as director of talent management with Knight Insurance Group in downtown Toledo. I've never worked in the insurance industry before. I know very little about insurance. That's why I have wise friends and advisors along the way. But my role is exclusively focused on recruitment, as we have significant growth plans about adding good talent to our team. Good talent. That's what we're looking for. And then looking at the development. How do we continue to not only develop the folks that we bring in, but all of the folks who are in the organization? We want to continue to, we have growth plans. And if we have growth plans, we need to be able to develop our current colleagues as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so making the transition, it's transferable skills. I spent 10 and a half years at Bowling Green State University recruiting adult graduate mm-hmm. students. So instead of recruiting adult graduate students, now I'm recruiting team members to join our organization. I taught classes at Bowling Green State University mm-hmm. and did advising for students. Well, I'm doing the same thing in my role at Transferable Skills back in the private sector. And so it's about those transferable skills. And frankly, the opportunity came from professional networking. Mm-hmm. It was somebody that I've known for many, many, many years that I had met at a conference. Mm-hmm. We've continued to connect, having lunch once or twice a year. Mm-hmm. And she came to me and said, hey, we're creating this new role. You know a lot of the HR people in town, and we're creating this new role. Do you know anybody who might be interested? And of course, I thought about a couple people that I know and said, yeah, let me check in with them and see how they're doing and what their plans are. And about a week later, I sent her a note and said, hey, Diane, should you and I have a conversation about the role? She said, yes, absolutely. And so we basically just had a couple conversations to make sure it was the right fit. And mm-hmm. it's been quite the transition, but a great 7 weeks. It's just been, it's a lot of learning. So mm-hmm. sitting back, listening, asking lots of questions. A lot of questions and listening and really kind of learning from the experts that are already in the firm.
So one of the things that you've mentioned a couple of times in different ways has been the value of networking. Mm-hmm. You know, the people who you knew, you talked about being at Owens, and I really believe that for all of our students, but particularly students who are first generation or at institutions of opportunity, first generation, they may not have a network. Mm-hmm. And so it's up to the institution to provide them a network. And so they borrow ours mm-hmm. Until they, you know, can create their own or actually give back and create, you know, help the institution broaden their networks. But that's something that for a lot of people who may not have the confidence or may not have the experience, that's daunting. How do you help people understand the value of networking? It's more than messaging someone on LinkedIn, but you know, how do you help people understand and demystify, all right, this is how you build a network?
Right, sure. So if I were talking in front of Owen students today, by the way, nobody who knows me is going to be surprised by anything I have to say around networking. Especially students. If you're a student at Owens Community College, you're a student at any school, you have what I say, a student card. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about the physical card that you have in a student card. I'm talking about being able to pick up the phone and say, hi, my name is Tom. I'm a student at Owens, and I'm hoping I can talk to somebody who works in marketing about what they do. Who's going to say no?
Exactly.
So being able to say you're a student in a I don't care what level of student you are. Mm-hmm. I've told MBA students the same thing. You may not want to say that you're an MBA student because it might be intimidating to some. But if you say, I am a student and I'm looking for some help, most people, most organizations are going to say yes. Mm-hmm. That's how you start your networking. That's how you at least get started. Along with that is being able to ask really good questions and not always asking questions like, oh, so what do you do? But what do you like about what you do? Mm-hmm. What is it that you're most excited about when you go to the office? What do you find the most challenging about your? Mm-hmm. This is how you're going to find out whether you're going to like a gig or not. Mm-hmm. But then you start building a network. And even following up that conversation with that person with, hey, is there somebody else that you would recommend I talk to? Mm-hmm. Most cases, the best networker is going to say, I already have three people in mind, and I want to introduce you to these three people. Or you can ask. And so it's really important to be able to not be afraid to say, hey, I'm just seeking information mm-hmm. and use that student card all the way. Right. And then, of course, part of asking good questions is listening. Mm-hmm. Listen, take notes, and then make sure that you're following up with them, sending them a note via email, send a handwritten note. I don't know if people really feel the need that it has to be a handwritten note. Even an email that just says, thank you for your time. Right. I appreciate it. And then check in with them. After 6 months, let them know what's going on. Maybe mm-hmm. check in with them. But that's how you can kind of grow a network. I say growing a network is just creating friends. So even when I teach networking, one of the first questions is, does anybody else in the room have a friend? How did you get to know that person? Mm-hmm. Did somebody introduce you? Did you just show up at the same place? you started sharing information back and forth, you found some commonality, mm-hmm. and now you're friends. And so, well, my network are a bunch of my friends
yeah.
along the way.
It's one of those things that as you talk to, you know, students or young people or people who are new in a field or whatever the case may be, they feel as though it's a little intimidating, or they equate it with the word schmoozing.
Yeah,
and absolutely. And schmoozing has some negative connotations around it to me, to where it really seems like something disingenuous rather than the way you've described it. You're looking to learn about people and learn about what they do and, you know, their views on different industries or whatever the case may be, to in a way that, you know, you're going to learn. And I think that's the great thing about the student card, because as a student, you're there to learn. You're not there to be in competition with or anything like that. You're there to learn.
Yeah, I think schmoozing is because it's the kind of the salespeople who go to mm-hmm. a conference or go to a networking event and they're there to sell mm-hmm. versus I'm just here to talk and meet new people. I'm here to learn something new, whatever that might be. And so, mm-hmm. you know, some of the best networking people I know say, hey, when you go to a networking event, have a goal. Mm-hmm. What's your goal? Do you want to meet one new person, two new people? Do you want to actually schedule a lunch with somebody specific? Are you there just to learn? Are you just there to meet some people? Like, what is your goal for going? And mm-hmm. then go for that. Now, if your goal is to go sell something, you're going for the wrong reasons. So that's the schmoozing thing that happens. But being involved in your community is a great option. And I mean, again, if I'm giving advice to Owen's students who are here in Northwest Ohio, Owens Community College is a member of Epic Toledo, and mm-hmm. Epic Toledo is a young professionals organization here in the city. Most cities have these young professional organizations. Mm-hmm. It's a great way for a student to learn who the other young professionals are in the community. Mm-hmm. And so just go with a friend. That's the easiest way to do it, is go with a friend
right.
and say, hey, we're here together. Go find somebody and chat with them for 15 minutes, and we'll meet back here in 15 minutes and share notes. And that way, look, it gives you a goal. You go out, you meet somebody, and then you have an excuse to break off that conversation because you're supposed to meet a friend in 15 minutes, because that sometimes is the hard part, is how do you break off that conversation? And then go compare notes and then mm-hmm. maybe say, hey, you know what? Let me introduce you to that person. Mm-hmm. And now you've just doubled your network, and then do it again. So even something that simple, and the young professional organizations are a great place to start because they do offer students that opportunity to connect with the young professionals in town.
That is wonderful. And it's great advice for folks. As you're looking at students who may be part of the reason that they want to network is because they eventually aspire to different kinds of roles in leadership or executive mm-hmm. ranks. What kind of advice do you give them about how do they set themselves up now to prepare for that transition? And, you know, we had talked a little bit earlier about making sure you're ready when the opportunity mm-hmm. comes. And so I think that might be applicable here. Can you expand upon that in a way that I'm not doing very eloquently?
Sure. And this comes from a gentleman by the name of Mark Miller. I heard a talk on a podcast. Mark Miller was employee number 16 at Chick-fil-A and eventually became their vice president of high performance at the firm. And one of the things that Mark says is that you control your readiness, the organization controls the opportunity. I kind of interpret that as you want to be the answer to the question, who's ready? Because in many organizations, when we're promoting somebody or there is an open position, our question is, okay, who's ready? And mm-hmm. so you want to be the answer to who's ready. I think the big thing to that is it's your career. Mm-hmm. You own your career. You shouldn't be putting it in somebody else's hands. And along with that, the biggest part of that, especially if you're looking to be in leadership or executive type positions, is you have to self-lead before you can lead mm-hmm. others. So you really need to know yourself, know about yourself, and be able to lead yourself before anybody's going to follow you and before you can actually lead others. So I would say that that's the number one thing. The second part of that would be go back to those real skills. Mm-hmm. It takes being able to build relationships with other people, building trust, building all those capabilities that you need to have to be a great leader. And really great leaders are people who care about other people mm-hmm. and that are helping them grow along. And again, one of the things I heard recently is, you know, great leaders create more leaders. That's mm-hmm. what they do. And so you got to lead yourself, and then you can lead others. And you got to build strong relationships with folks. That's how they their willingness to follow you.
Now, you already know this, but at Owens, probably the largest part of our student population are in our transfer programs. Students who are here who are following an Associate of Arts, Associate of Science type track that are looking to transfer to a four-year college or university. And so, being a former transfer student, what advice do you give students who are in that position?
Well, first of all, I would say, yes, it's a tagline for Owens Community College, but in my experience, it's real. Your success starts here. I am not anywhere near where I am in my career without my experience here at Owens.
Thank you.
Your success starts here. My success started right here at Owens, and there's no question about that. I'd go back to the idea that education is freedom, right? So getting a foundation, even here at Owens, allowed me to be able to get that first job right in industry before transferring. Transferring today is so much easier than it was many, many, many years ago.
Yes.
The idea of the Falcon Express, the Rocket Express, these are make it so much easier than it was. But, you know, again, keeping it in mind that it's nobody else's career but yours. Mm-hmm. And so finding your path, get into a school, a community college is great. It does give you that foundation. Like me, it may give you that first opportunity in industry. If not, you know, it still gives you that opportunity to be able to build on to if you want to choose to go to, you know, a university, another school beyond that. I even know some folks, by the way, who have four-year degrees who have actually come back to a school, a community college, because they were trying to add a skill set or add some additional knowledge for their career. So even though the students, the typical path is, hey, I'm going to knock out my two-year degree and then I'll transfer and get my four-year degree. In some cases, some people go the opposite way because they're looking to add that.
Yeah, reverse transfer is a thing.
Absolutely. My experience shows that I mentally came in as an engineering student and found my path wasn't that. And finding it out here at Owens early, very early, allowed me to be able to transfer out of that program into another where all of my classes transferred, except for those engineering classes. but it was only two of them. So I only had two bonus classes in my transcript from my time here at Owens. But I was able to find a path. And then again, it jumped right into a career.
So community colleges in general, how do they help with the organizational development, professional development, the training and development needs that corporations have?
There's always an opportunity there. And I think for the right company, the right organization, to be able to connect with a community college can be a great path. Here at Owens Community College, I am a huge fan, even though I'm not part of the manufacturing world and haven't been in a manufacturing organization, I'm a huge fan of the Dana Center for Advanced Manufacturing. I think it's kind of the model for how organizations can truly get somebody skilled up quickly on the same machines they're going to be using at the facility, where they're going to get it where that's not on the job training, where it's slowing production, where or we have to shut down production, or we're pulling other staff off of work. And so it's a great option for them to be able to get that foundational knowledge so that when they show up to the workplace, they're ready
they
to go.
They can do the work.
Do the work right away. Maybe there's some little tweaks that they need to know along the way for how we do it here. But what a great option to be able to have people get that foundational knowledge before they even start. And so a huge fan of the Dana Center for Advanced Manufacturing, and hopefully more and more of our local companies are looking at that as an option to be able to get their folks foundationally set.
It's really interesting you say that, because I remember talking with someone about robotics. And so there's like two major brands in the industry, and we have more of one versus the other and the whole bit. And someone described it to me as, it's like, do you prefer to drive a GM or a Ford? If you know how to drive a car, you'll be able to do either one. But one has, you know, certain features versus the other and certain preferences. And I think that what we're able to offer students, be it in manufacturing or healthcare or in one of the other disciplines, I think every company brings some level of, this is our way. Kind of what you were saying earlier.
Acumen. You got to have the acumen. So if we can start with acumen, we'll figure the rest out.
Absolutely. It's like, are you ready to learn? So that's wonderful. And so one of the things about the Dana Center is that obviously there was the gift from Dana Incorporated, But our foundation, the Owens Community College Foundation, really made that building a possibility through the mechanism for giving and the fundraising campaign that was around that and around that renovation. And you have been a member of our foundation board of directors for some time now. And so can you talk about what has compelled you to give back to one of your alma maters in this way?
It's going to go right back to your success starts here. My success started here at Owens, and I feel compelled because my success of my career success so far is built on the foundation I had here at Owens. Mm-hmm. And it's important for me and part of my values even of giving back, mm-hmm. giving back to what I got from Owens Community College. And so it's been a huge impact in my career. I'm not where I'm at without my experience here. And so I'm very proud of my experience at Owens and to say that I am an Owens graduate and coming back and serving mm-hmm. Owens in that capacity. And truly, at the end of the day, it's about others helping others realize their dream mm-hmm. of an education and getting into a career that they want to find as well. And mm-hmm. so it's a little bit of both of, hey, I got to get back. But at the same time, you know, I'm passionate about helping others find their path as well. And mm-hmm. so through the foundation, we're able to provide thousands of dollars in scholarships that help people get an education that may never have had a chance. And mm-hmm. who knows where their careers may lead.
Absolutely.
And we, of course, would hope that at some point they're going to want to come back and do the same thing mm-hmm. is, you know, support the foundation, support the students, because they've been supported by the foundation.
Well, you had said earlier about something else that, you know, it's all about the people. And mm-hmm. I really believe that that's what we're about as an institution. It's, you know, our foundation board of directors is an incredible group in terms of their advocacy, their support, and really just being supportive in a very human way about who our students are and what our mission is as an institution. It's about our faculty and our staff, who are incredibly dedicated, you know, to have people who truly believe in our students. Mm-hmm. It's about our students. We can't do anything without our students. And the grit, the dedication, the future-focused nature that so many of our students have, like what you did, is really what makes it all come together. And so I appreciate what you're saying, but I realize there's a lot more to that equation, including students like you, former students, who bring their dedication and passion as well. So thank you.
You know, thank you. Well, you're welcome. And at the same time, we know that 70% of the graduates from Owens Community College are in the region. Mm-hmm. And so even from a region standpoint, it's important to how do we continue to elevate mm-hmm. education is freedom. Mm-hmm. And how do we help provide more people an educational opportunity to find their freedom mm-hmm. along the way? And we can do that if it's scholarships, that's a great option to help them get started. Sometimes they just need to get started to realize their full potential.
Mm-hmm. You kind of remove that one barrier so they can focus on the other things. We can help with this. So other things we need others to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you give to your alma mater of your service and time, but you also give in the community and in your profession. Mm-hmm. And so tell me what has motivated you there and why it's so important for you to give back.
Yeah, so probably shouldn't mention that, but I do serve on four boards and actually have chair positions on three of those boards. But part of that is what I feel is the importance of giving back. Mm-hmm. And you can't tell people to give back if you're not doing it yourself.
It's kind of difficult.
Yeah, so, you know, and what I would say is currently I'm on three boards of organizations that have given me value. And so mm-hmm. it's now time for me to kind of even participate on those boards to make sure that I can offer other people those mm-hmm. opportunities. I think it also helps give a voice to those organizations in the community. Mm-hmm. And so one of those boards that I'm pretty passionate about is Avenues for Autism and, mm-hmm. and trying to give a voice and recognize not only the organization, but the individuals who are on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that we've been able to even talk a lot about is what about job opportunities for people who are on the spectrum? There's a tremendous opportunity. And I think that the more we all learn about the autism community, mm-hmm. the more we recognize there's a lot of value there mm-hmm. and making sure that there's value there. So ultimately, my board participation, I hope, helps us improve our community as a whole. At the end of the day, that's my interest. Now, am I stretching myself a little thin on four? Maybe.
Maybe.
And at the same time, you know, it's a great way to learn more about your community and the people in it. So we talked about networking earlier. I've met more different types of people and more people in our community, and the connections, they aren't necessarily helping me out necessarily professionally, but we help each other out. And that is the huge part of being involved. So even just participating on nonprofit boards and just getting involved in your community is going to help your community, helps you personally, professionally as well. But yeah, there's a lot of bonuses there. So, you know, one of the things I would also add is that when we start looking at what our employers are looking for about board participation, yeah, they do like to see that you're involved in your community. I think what I'm noticing even more is that the employees or the prospective employees are looking at organizations and saying, how are you involved in our community? How are you giving back to our community? And so it's a little on both sides now, which I love, because I'm hoping that we're going to continue to see that evolution of more organizations getting involved in their communities and employees then being supported to get involved in their community along the way.
Well, and there's a lot of literature out there about how people are looking for more than just the transactional relationship of employer-employee. They really want to be engaged in ways that weren't the assumption previously.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because there's this image of, oh, the younger employees, they need purpose in their work, and they want to make sure that the organization has a mission. And my thought process is, don't we all?
Yes.
it's just probably, there's just a little bit more light on it now than there ever has been before.
Absolutely.
And so, but all of us want an organization that has purpose and gives us some purpose and a mission and doing well for our community.
Right. Tom Daniels, we're incredibly proud of you. I think that you're an example of so many of our alums who have taken the opportunities and support and really parlayed that into something incredible, not only for themselves, but for their families and for the community.
I am very proud Owens alum, as I think most people know that I'm a very proud alum. I'm a believer in the Your Success Starts Here story because I'm an example of it. And it can be somebody else. There's a lot of friends that I had even when I was here, I still have in contact with. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we're talking 30 years, which is really crazy to think of, but still connected to a couple folks that were here with as a student with me. And they're doing great as well. Yes. And so when we get to share stories and that we followed different paths to our four-year degree, but we followed the exact same path to our graduate degrees at Bowling Green. And it's really, it's kind of enlightening there. So my hope is that Owens Community College still continues to have a positive impact in the lives of the students as well as our community as well.
I am so grateful that you were able to take some time to be with us this afternoon. I have been looking forward to this recording for some time. And so I'm glad that you were able to do that for us today.
Thank you for the invite.
Thank you.
Tom, thank you so much for being with us. Every time we talk, I'm struck by your commitment to our community and the encouragement you provide to those around you. Thank you for your time today. And thank you to all of our listeners for your support over the past 2 years. Please remember to take our quick 4-question listener survey. That link is also in our program notes. And remember to subscribe to join us for future episodes of our award-winning conversations. Until next time, take care.